Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Narayanam namaskritya. Naram chaiva narottamam. Devim Sarasatim Vyasam Tato Jaya Mudiraye. Gopremanande. And now, starting at 5:15, we're reading selected verses from the prayers of Prahlad Maharaj. Prahlad pacifies the Lords with prayers. We'll find that in the entire pastime in the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is extensive, speaking about the appearance of Lord Nrsingadev, because it's such an important appearance of the Lord that there are only about half a dozen verses where the Lord is speaking himself. The rest is Prahlad Maharaj. How important he is. It's the whole reason for the Lord appearing. Well, he has his own reasons. For his happiness. This is after his appearance. Shiparadu vacha. Let's get into it. Brahmadaya suragana manayota siddha satvai katana gatayovacha sambravahe narari tumpuru gunaradanapi pipru kim toshtamar hati same haru ugrajatehe. Prahlad Maharaj prayed, "How is it possible for me, who have been born in a family of asuras, to offer suitable prayers to satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead? Even until now, all the demigods headed by Lord Brahma and all the saintly persons could not satisfy the Lord by streams of excellent words, although such persons are very qualified, being in the mode of goodness. Then what is to be said of me? I am not at all qualified." I'm backing up because it's the verse I wanted. Astau siddharamekagra manasa susamaditaha prema gadgaraya vacha tanyasta hridayekshanaha. This is the previous verse. Prahlad Maharaj fixed his mind and sight upon Lord Nrsingadev with full attention and complete trance. With a fixed mind, he began to offer prayers in love with a faltering voice. The word susamahitaha means very attentive or fully fixed. The ability to fix the mind in this way is the result of yoga siddhi, mystic perfection. As it is stated in the Srimad Bhagavatam 12.13.1, Dhyana vastita tadgatena manasa pashyantiyam yoginaha. One attains yogic perfection when he is freed from all material diversions and his mind is fixed upon the lotus feet of the Lord. This is called samadhi or trance. Prahlad Maharaj attained that stage beyond the senses. Because he was engaged in service, he felt transcendentally situated, and naturally his mind and attention became saturated in transcendence. In that condition, he began to offer his prayers as follows. Om Jnana Timarandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadam Mahyam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Yuta Parakamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavam Cha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvetam Sadvatutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shivishakanvitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabando Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavanishvari Rishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye. Jaya Sri Krishna Chait Vancha Kalpatrubhyascha Krupa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Sri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Brinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So we're reading how Prahlad Maharaj, his voice is choking out of love for the Lord. His mind's fixed, and so is his sight on Lord Nrisimhadeva with full attention and complete trance. And he begins to offer prayers. So Prabhupada's saying about how this is the result of yoga siddhi, or mystic perfection. And it's the perfection of yoga. Manmana bhava mad bhakto madhyaji mam namaskuru. Krishna says, just think of me. But the mind is a reservoir of all changes, and it's become attached over time and habituated to thinking of variety within the material world contaminated by the three modes of material nature, and the process of how the mind and senses become attached is described in the Bhagavad Gita, Dhyayato Vishayam Pumsam Sangas Teshu Pachayate, that just by a little bit of contemplation of the objects of sense gratification, that one begins to associate with them. By meditating on the objects of the senses, then one begins to desire them, and the process of thinking, feeling, and willing takes place. And then one becomes married to them. And from that, one becomes fully implicated in the senses. And so the process of yoga is to gradually remove the mind from the sense objects. Yato yato nishchalati. Krishna says, to wherever it wanders, you should bring it back under the control of the self. And gradually, the mind will become attracted to Krishna, because Krishna is all attractive. Yuvatinam yata yuni yunam cha yuvatao yata mano biramate tadvan mano me ramatam tvayi. Rupa Goswami says that there's a natural state in which the mind runs after Krishna naturally, without any prompting. Just goes there automatically. So this is the yoga, actual yoga siddhi. Who can do this? Fix their mind always on Krishna so that their mind's running after Krishna, or fixed in constantly on Krishna. Only a great soul who has attained the highest perfection, Prahlad Maharaj. Even though he's a 5-year-old boy, he's attained this kind of perfection. How did he do it? In the Leela, actually, in the following prayers, we'll find who he's giving credit to throughout. He gives credit to his spiritual master, Narada Muni, that his spiritual master has given him this blessing of pure devotional service. He credits everything to him. He became celebrated as the greatest of all devotees. In fact, the question is raised, how is it that Prahlad, even though he's born from a demoniac father, even though he's born in this lowly situation, how did he become more celebrated and considered to be the best devotee, better than even the associates of Lord Vishnu in Vaikuntha? And the acharyas give the answer that because he was tested, his bhakti was tested, and he was a completely pure devotee with no motivation whatsoever. So this is the perfection of yoga, simply to be able to fix one's mind on Krishna constantly and to feel love for him. This is expressed in his voice, prema gadgadaya vacha, that when one attains is attaining perfection in devotional service, one's heart melts. Tadasmasaram hridayam bhateyam agrihamanir harinam adhyayai. Next line. Navikriyeta yatavikaro gatram ruhu gatram netre gatam netre jalam gataruhe shahara harsha. This means that if one is engaged in devotional service, hearing about the Lord, chanting the Lord's name, and one's heart doesn't melt, one's tears don't come to one's eyes, one's hairs don't stand on end. Netre jalam. Netre means the eyes, and jalam means water. So if some tears don't come from the eyes, and one's hairs don't stand on end, then it's to be understood that one's heart is steel framed and is not changed at all. Krishna bolbe jabe pulakabe jorbi anki bolitai. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, when you sing the name of Krishna, then naturally you'll feel ecstasy. Your demeanor should change. Everything should change. You feel this kind of ecstasy. This is a very advanced stage. But Prahlad Maharaj had this immediately by the grace of his spiritual master. He heard from him within the womb. It shows the power of hearing, and it shows also the power of the blessings of the spiritual master, that Narada Muni was giving his goodwill to Prahlad. He took his mother, Kayadu, to this ashram, and he, ostensibly he was instructing her, but actually he was directing his instruction and goodwill to Prahlad. He was within the womb. And even from within the womb, that goodwill of Narada penetrated, and so did the sound vibration. He remembered everything, and he also felt the full blessings of Narada Muni. So now, just when he's a five-year-old boy, he's feeling this kind of ecstasy, and his mind is completely fixed on Krishna with no deviation. That's pretty remarkable, considering if you see how five-year-old boys are generally. Their minds aren't fixed so much. They like to play. Kids should play. They need to play. But that's what they want to do all day. But Prahlad was not interested in playing. In fact, he was a five-year-old boy, and he was instructing his friends and everyone else, Kumara acharat pragno dharmam bhagavataniha, that you should start from the time you're 5 years old in cultivating Krishna consciousness and take very seriously this process. It's such a huge event, Lord Nrisimhadeva appearing. It's such a huge event because he's coming to, for many reasons. First reason is for his own pleasure. It's virarasa. He likes to fight. Krishna likes to fight. He likes to wrestle. In Vrindavan, he wrestles with his friends. They wrestle each other to the ground, and there's a lot of boasting going on about who won and who didn't. And in all of his different forms, he likes to fight. So, of course, he only fights with his devotees, naturally. So this was a whole setup, starting way back with Jayan Vijay, the seventh door of Vaikuntha, each door representing different stage of advancement and devotional service. And then when the Kumaras, little boys themselves, came to the seventh door outside Vaikuntha, and Jai Vijay blocked their entrance. Then they became angry. They thought, what kind of people are these? They're judging us based on our physical appearance, that we're just little kids, that we can't come in, we're not qualified. And then after they cursed Jai Vijay, the Lord himself came to see what the commotion was. And he offered his apologies. Said, I'm sorry, I've offended you. And then they could see the nature of that place, that the devotees and the Lord, he took it upon himself that this is my offense to you. And he held the curse because he didn't want to contradict the Brahmins, these Kumaras. And Jayan Vijay took birth by their own choice as demons so they could come back more quickly. Three times in the material world as Hiranyakashipu and Hiranyaka, as Ravana and Kumbhakarna, and as Shishupal and Dantarvakra. Three times they took birth. And each time, Krishna killed them. Of course, the last time as Shishupal, when he killed Shishupal with his own chakra, even though all the devotees wanted to kill him too, when he was born and he was started to babble like a little baby starts talking about, the first words coming out of his mouth were blasphemy of Krishna, even in his baby talk. And in that assembly with so many great devotees, he was blaspheming Krishna, and then finally Krishna cut off his head. And he was liberated. Everyone could see that he became liberated after that. And they wanted to know. Parikshit Maharaj wanted to know, how is it? Or Yudhisthira wanted to know, how is it that, you know, such a great demon was liberated? And then the story of how Jayanvijay came, how Hiranyakashipu was one of Jayanvijay incarnation, the whole story unfolded about Lord Nrisingadev. And how he came to save his devotee Prahlad from the hands of this great demon. He was so powerful. Anyway, by following the footsteps of Prahlad Maharaj in these prayers that he gives as he pacifies the Lord, then anyone can attain perfection in devotional service. They have the perfect Siddhanta for us to follow. So the first prayer, Shri Prahlada Uvacha Pramadaya Surugana Munayota Siddha Satvayakatana Gatayovacha Sampravahe Naraditum Purugunar Arunapi Pipru Kim Toshtum Arhati Same Harir Ugrajatehe. Prahlad Maharaj prayed, how is it possible for me, who have been born in a family of asuras, to offer suitable prayers to satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead? Even until now, all the demigods headed by Lord Brahma and all the saintly persons could not satisfy the Lord by streams of excellent words. Although such persons are very qualified, being in the mode of goodness, then what is to be said of me? I am not at all qualified. Purport. A Vaishnava who is fully qualified to serve the Lord still thinks himself extremely low while offering prayers to the Lord. For example, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, the author of Chaitanya Charitamrita, says, Jagai madai hoite mui se papishta purishera kita hoite mui se lagishta. Thus he considers himself unqualified, lower than the worms in stool, and more sinful than Jagai and Madhai. A pure Vaishnava actually thinks of himself in this way. Similarly, although Prahlad Maharaj was a pure, exalted Vaishnava, he thought himself most unqualified to offer prayers to the Supreme Lord. Mahajano yena gata sapanta. Every pure Vaishnava should think like this. One should not be falsely proud of his Vaishnava qualifications. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has therefore instructed us, Tunadapi suni chena toror iva suhishnuna amanina manadena kirtaniya sadahari. One should chant the holy name of the Lord in a humble state of mind, thinking oneself lower than the straw in the street. One should be more tolerant than a tree, devoid of all sense of false prestige, and should be ready to offer all respects to others. In such a state of mind, one can chant the holy name of the Lord constantly. Unless one is meek and humble, to make progress in spiritual life is very difficult. So this is one of the qualifications of a devotee. It's also a necessary quality for one to advance in devotional service. But Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami mentions that even though the devotee is the most exalted and has the greatest quality, still he thinks himself unqualified and without any qualities. And this verse, Trinadapi Sunichena, this is the formula for attaining pure devotional service. Someone might say, how do you attain pure devotional service? Then this verse can be offered as a formula that one should cultivate this humility and pridelessness and also be ready to offer all respects to others without expecting anything in return, and to be more tolerant than a tree, devoid of all sense of false prestige. Practically, this kind of humility, which is called dainya, is synonymous with pure devotional service, mentioned by Sanatana Goswami in the Brihat Bhagavatamrita, that when you find very advanced stages of devotional service, you'll also necessarily find this dainya, or extreme humility, present within the hearts of the devotees, the advanced devotees. So Prahlad Maharaj felt like this, that he was unqualified, even though he was such a glorified personality that all of the demigods, after offering prayers, couldn't satisfy the Lord. He was so angry and roaring. He's half man, half lion. It's a very scary incarnation of the Lord. And he had killed Hiranyakashipu. He had also garlanded himself with the intestines. It's a ghastly scene. And when you hear a lion roar, there's something about a lion's roar. I heard this, that there's some vibration in his voice that makes people afraid. It's like there's a low pitch in it. It's scary. But what to speak of Lord Nrsingadev? Trastos meham kripanavatsala dushahogra. No, what's the verse before that? Naham bibhetya bhima detatasya jivarka netra brukuti rabasoga damstra antrascha jashatata keshara shankukarnan nishrada piti tikipad adipinnakagrad. The description by Prahlad Maharaj of how scary was Lord Nrsingadev. That digibat, it means that his roaring was so fearsome that all over the universe, elephants were running in fear. And he was shaking everybody, the whole universe, but big creatures too, everyone. And the demigods were afraid. He had high wedge-like ears, a shankukarnan. Shanku means like a conch shell, his ears. His high wedge-like ears, and his roaring, and then sharp pinching teeth, and garland of intestines, and and nails, big old nails, which were neither alive or dead. You can't say the nails are alive or dead. So, even though there was such a scary scene, Prahlad Maharaj was the only one who wasn't afraid. All the demigods were afraid. They were trembling in fear, but Prahlad was not afraid. And they pushed him forward to offer prayers to the Lord. Prabhupada said, just like you might push a small boy into a lion's den. You try. Even Lakshmi Devi couldn't recognize her husband in this form. She had never seen such a form before. But Prahlad wasn't afraid to come forward. So then he says, Manye dana bijana rupa tapashu taujas teja prabhava bala paura shabhuri yoga narada naya hi bhavanti parasya hungso bhaktya tutosha bhagavanga jayutapaya. Prahlad Maharaj continued, one may possess wealth, an aristocratic family, beauty, austerity, education, sensory expertise, luster, influence, physical strength, diligence, intelligence, and mystic yogic power. But I think that even by all these qualifications, one cannot satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead. However, one can satisfy the Lord simply by devotional service. Gajendra did this, and thus the Lord was satisfied with him. Purport. No kind of material qualification is the means for satisfying the Supreme Personality of Godhead. As stated in Bhagavad Gita, only by devotional service can the Lord be known. Bhaktyamam abhijanati. Unless the Lord is pleased by the service of a devotee, the Lord does not reveal himself. Naham prakashya sarvasya yoga maya samavrita. This is the verdict of all shastras. Neither by speculation nor by material qualification can one understand or approach the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So the Lord's the possessor of all opulence and all wealth. Bhoktaram jagatapasam sarvaloka maheshwaram suridam sarvabhutanam gyatvamam shantimrichati. He's the controller of everything. He's the owner of everything. He's the enjoyer of everything. He's the friend of everyone. So what kind of qualification could somebody show him materially to impress him? There is nothing. But the amazing thing about pure devotional service is that it attracts even Krishna. In fact, it's the only way to attract Krishna. He says, bhaktyamam abhijananti yavanyas chasmi tatvataha. It's the only way to know him. It's the only way to attract his attention through pure unalloyed devotional service. And because he's within everyone's heart, he knows the quality of the devotee's heart and desire. He can smell it just like one smells a flower. He can tell the scent of that, of what's one's in, the soul's intention. And it's so powerful, devotional service, that it conquers even Krishna. The unconquerable, Krishna's unconquerable, but there's one thing that he's conquered by, and that is pure devotional service. Ajita becomes Jita by the power of devotional service. So Prahlad Maharaj is listing all of these qualifications. And similarly, Queen Kunti says, Janmaishvarya Shruta Shribir Edamana Madapuman Naivarhat Yadidatum Vai Twam Akinchana Gochara. There's opulences that I may achieve due to my past karma in this life. I might get great beauty, high birth, some wealth, or strength. But those things tend to be intoxicating. They make me think that I'm independent from Krishna, I don't need him. So she says all of these so-called material qualifications actually intoxicate the soul, make him think that he's independent or that he can enjoy in the material world. But the only way to attract Krishna, she says, is that if one is akinchana, and that means unattached to any of these things and thinking, I don't have anything. I have no qualification whatsoever. Kinchan means something, so akinchana means I don't have anything. I have no qualification. I'm fully dependent. This is the basis for attracting the Lord. He's only attracted to a person who feels like this, helpless in that sense, fully dependent at every second on his mercy. So this is what's being presented by Prahlad Maharaj, 5-year-old pure devotee, that he's in this mood, that there is no material qualification that can impress the Lord. And he also remembers Bhaktya Tutosha Bhagavan Gajayutapaya, of how Gajendra, the elephant, had pleased the Lord. And after all, he's an elephant. He's a big animal. And there are other animals, too, who are famous, like Jatayu, who was a bird. He was an old bird, too. He could barely fight when he took on Ravana. And he fought to the death. And even though he lost, Ram came and personally performed his funeral rites and blessed him for his service. And Hanuman was a monkey. And Prahlad Maharaj, he's not a Brahmin. He's not a Kshatriya. What is he? He's born in a demoniac family. Everyone thought that it was going to be the next big disaster, because Hiranyakashipu was the biggest disaster the demigods had ever seen in the whole universe. somehow or other, he got this benediction that was unbeatable. He had it all sewed up. They thought maybe finally somebody beat the system. Somebody finally beat the system, and they were worried because the demigods are Sakama devotees. There's some material desire there. They're devotees of the Lord, no doubt, but they have something to lose because they have some position, they have some power, trying to keep the status quo a little bit. So Hiranyakashipu was a conundrum, a very difficult situation. He had them all subjugated, everybody in the universe. So how was it that Prahlad Maharaj, this little boy, he was saying that even Gajendra pleased the Lord and he was not qualified at all, like all of these other demigods. So this is the qualification to be a Kinchana Gochara without any kind of distinction or feeling that I'm qualified. Then one can properly offer prayers to the Lord and attract the Lord's attention and mercy. Vipradvishad gunayatar aravinda naba padar avinda vimukat shvapacham varishtam manyetadarpita mano vachanehi tarta pranam punati sakulam natuburi manaha. If a Brahmin has all 12 of the Brahminical qualifications, as they are stated in the book called Sunat Sujata, but is not a devotee and is averse to the lotus feet of the Lord, he is certainly lower than a devotee who is a dog eater, but who has dedicated everything, mind, words, activities, wealth, and life, to the Supreme Lord. Such a devotee is better than such a Brahmin, because the devotee can purify his whole family, whereas the so-called Brahmin, in a position of false prestige, cannot purify even himself. Purport. Here is a statement by Prahlad Maharaj, one of the 12 authorities, regarding the distinction between a devotee and a Brahmin expert in karmakanda, or Vedic ritualistic ceremonies. There are 4 varnas and 4 ashrams which divide human society. But the central principle is to become a first-class pure devotee. It is said in the Hari Bhakti Sudodaya, Bhagavad Bhaktihinasya Jati Shastram Chapastapa Apranasyaiva Dehasya Mandanam Lokaranjanam. If one is born in a high family, like that of a Brahmin, Kshatriya, or Vaishya, but is not a devotee of the Lord, all his good qualifications as a Brahmin, Kshatriya, or Vaishya are null and void. Indeed, they are considered decorations of a dead body. In this verse, Prahlad Maharaj speaks of the Vipras, the learned Brahmanas. The learned Brahmin is considered best among the divisions of Brahmin, Kshatriya, Vaishya, and Shudra, but a devotee born in a low Chandal family is better than such Brahmins, not to speak of the Kshatriyas, Vaishyas, and others. A devotee is better than anyone, for he is in the transcendental position on the Brahman platform. Mamchayo vyabhicharena bhaktiyogena sevate sagunan samatityaitan brahma bhuyaya kalpate. One who engages in full devotional service, who does not fall down in any circumstance, at once transcends the modes of material nature and thus comes to the level of Brahman. The 12 qualities of the first-class Brahman are stated in the book called Sanat Sujata as follows. Jnanam cha satyam cha dhanam shutam cha hyamat cha saram hrish titikshana sua yajnas cha dhanam chaturti shamascha mahavrata dvadasha brahmanasya. The European and American devotees in the Krishna consciousness movement are sometimes accepted as Brahmins, but the so-called caste Brahmins are very much envious of them. In answer to such envy, Prahlad Maharaj says that one who has been born in a Brahmin family but is falsely proud of his prestigious position cannot purify even himself, not to speak of his family. Whereas if a Chandal, a low-born person, is a devotee and has fully surrendered unto the lotus feet of the Lord, he can purify his entire family. We have actual experience of how Americans and Europeans, because of their full Krishna consciousness, have purified their whole families, so much so that a mother of a devotee, at the time of her death, inquired about Krishna with her last breath. Therefore, it is theoretically true, and has been practically proven that a devotee can give the best service to his family, his community, his society, and his nation. The foolish accuse a devotee of following the principle of escapism, but actually the fact is the devotee is the right person to elevate his family. A devotee engages everything in the service of the Lord, and therefore he is always exalted. So what a wonderful day we have Prahlad Maharaj to take shelter of, that he was persecuted by his own father. He gave him some cake, but it had poison in it. What kind of father does that? So you have some cake, little boy. And he wanted to kill him. He was so envious of him. But Prahlad Maharaj said, first I offer it before I take. And the poison was nullified. Anyway, in the 11th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, Lord Krishna tells Uddhava that one of the mystic powers that is naturally acquired by a pure devotee of the Lord is that you can't be poisoned. It's not possible. So he was persecuted by his own father, but he went on serving Krishna, went on worshiping Krishna, and the Lord appeared to show everyone the exalted position of the devotee and how he protects the devotee. Everyone was afraid that maybe wasn't a good idea, this devotional service. Look how now Hiranyakashipu has the upper hand. But when Lord Nrsingadeva appeared, he smashed all of that. And he came to protect his pure devotee and to exalt him. So the Lord's always there to protect the devotee and to care for him. In the early days of the Krishna consciousness movement, when, of course, one preaches Krishna consciousness, there is always some disturbance from the envious who want to see that the Krishna consciousness movement is stopped. In fact, Prabhupada said that there's a systematic propaganda by those who are against Krishna consciousness. There's a rising atheistic movement in America. Gaurang Kishore Prabhu was just at Stanford University a couple days ago, and he had a public debate with some of the atheists there. And he was saying that there's a growing movement of atheism. This is the nature of the material world. In Milton's Paradise Lost, there's a statement, I think it's from Milton. He said, one of the characters says, I'd rather reign in hell than to serve in heaven. This is the demoniac nature. I'd rather be in hell if I have an opportunity to be in charge and to dominate. And it's a causeless unwillingness to serve the Lord. So for all the devotees, of course, preaching Krishna consciousness, there's always some kind of agitation from the demons. And Srila Prabhupada introduced these prayers to Lord Nrsingadeva, that the devotees could take shelter of these mantras and the protection of Lord Nrsingadeva. In the Sankirtan movement in Navadvip also, when the Sankirtan came public out of the house of Srivas Thakur, then there was agitation. It was scary for the devotees. They went out, they were under this Muslim rule, and they began doing the kirtan, and there were complaints. The Hindus complained. They said, what kind of religion is this, chanting God's name publicly? You're going to wake Vishnu up with that loud chanting. And the Muslim police came, and there were 1,000 of them. They were patrolling the streets to make sure there was no sankirtan, there was no chanting. And even they broke a drum. They broke the Madanga drum and threatened the devotees. Later on, Lord Nrsingadeva appeared and threatened the Qazi, said, don't ever try to stop the Sankirtan movement again. So Lord Nrsingadeva is very prominent in the lives of the Vaishnavas, those who worship Krishna, those who worship Lord Chaitanya. He has his place there in Navadvip, in Nrsingapalli. He stopped there and washed his hands after killing Hiranyakashipu. Still resides there in Mayapur Dham. So the devotees always take shelter of Lord Nrsingadeva. And that was Prahlad Maharaj's mood too, even up to the last second before Lord Nrsingadeva appeared. when Hiranyakashipu asked him, "Where is your God?" And he said, "I see him everywhere. He's everywhere. Andantarasta paramanuchayantarastam. He's within, he's without. Where is he not present? Lord's present in every atom. The devotees are always connected with Krishna. In every circumstance of life, they see Krishna's hand also. Tenu kampam susamikshamanu bunjana evatmakirtam vipakam." That even there is adverse conditions in the life of the devotee. The devotee sees this is Krishna. This is mercy. He sees it as mercy. He's making me surrender. He's helping me come back to him. Maharaj Parikshit thought like that. When he was cursed by the Brahmin boy, first thing he said, "The mercy of the Lord. He's taking me back. Even though I'm unqualified, even though I'm so attached I wouldn't leave my kingdom, he's pulling me out. This is his mercy." So the devotees think like that. They see him everywhere. And Prahlad Maharaj, when he was asked by his father, "Where is this Vishnu?" he said, "He's everywhere. I see him everywhere." And that's just before Lord Nrisimhadev burst forth from the pillar. Before Hiranyakashipu, as he struck the pillar, he was intending also to smash Prahlad subsequently, and then the Lord appeared and easily killed this great demon, Hiranyakashipu, who everyone was afraid of. He had so much power in the universe, everyone was cowering before him, leaving no doubt for all time of the supremacy of the Lord and how the Lord protects his devotees. And we should take this very seriously, because everyone needs protection at every second. It's my intoxication and my illusion to think that I'm independent. This is the illusory dream of the soul, thinking that I'm independent and that I don't need protection. How am I independent and how am I protected? I have money. In the back of my mind, I think, "Oh, I have money. That bank balance will save me." Or I live in a wealthy country. I can go to Kaiser Hospital if I need help. They'll help me. Or I have some family members. They're very strong. Two of them are good attorneys. They can bail me out of any situation that I get in. But it's not true. And Prahlad Maharaj brings us out. This is the mentality of a pure devotee to understand. There's no protection in this world if the Lord is upeksha. If he's indifferent to us, who can protect us? Balasya neha charanam pitaro nishingha nartasya chaganamudanbati majatonyo. Taptasya tat prativedir yayahanjisheshtas tavabibo tanubitam twadupekshitanam. He says that parents can't protect their children. They may try, but without the sanction of the Lord, you can't protect your kids. It's up to the Lord. If you're sick and you go to take medicine or take some kind of treatment, there's no guarantee that it'll work. It could backfire. It could give the opposite result that you're looking for. And if you go to save a person in a terrible accident, maybe who's drowning, and you bring a good boat, it doesn't mean that you'll be able to save them. It's up to the Lord. We can only do our best, and after that, we're fully dependent on Krishna. So this is the mood of the pure devotee. At every second, the pure devotee is thinking, "I'm dependent on the Lord, and he's my maintenance, he's my life, he's my soul. Everything I have belongs to him," Bhaktivinoda Thakur says. Manasa deho geho yo kichumor. That my mind, my body, my home, my family, even that these things don't belong to me, they belong to the Lord. Even my own self doesn't belong to me. My own self belongs to the Lord. I'm his property. This is great relief, actually, to take shelter of the Lord in totality without holding back anything, not one scintilla of desire for my own protection, but fully giving ourselves to the protection of the Lord. This is reality. And in illusion, I think I can protect myself. So these prayers we give daily to Lord Nrisimhadev, we should remember and sing them with full conviction and gusto, remembering how he is our protector and how he came to save Prahlad Maharaj, his pure devotee. The pure devotee of the Lord is not in want of anything at any time. Why? Because the Lord is protecting him. Ananyaschinte antomam ye jana pariupasite tesham nityabdiyuktanam yogakshemam bahamyaham. Bahami means Krishna personally brings what Krishna, what the devotee lacks, and preserves what he has. He does it personally. He's personally watching over the devotees of the Lord. So we can remember this today and going forward, that the Lord is our protector and that we should pray to him at every minute. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada recommends in the verse of Srimad Bhagavad Gita, Sri Pram Bhavati Dharmatma Shachvach Chantim Nagachati Konteya Pratijanihi Name Bhaktya Pranashati, in which Lord Krishna says, declare it boldly, Arjuna, that my devotee never perishes. He quickly becomes righteous and attains lasting peace. And the purport, Srila Prabhupada gives a very important instruction, and that is that the qualification of any devotee is that he or she should go on chanting Hare Krishna without stoppage. I mean, 24 hours a day. It's not that we chant for a little while and then we stop and we think, now there's time to separate myself from this religious process, or once a week I come and I perform some, but without stoppage, because the reality is we're swimming in a very dangerous ocean. Prahlad Maharaj, when he was praying to the Lord, he said, really, I'm not afraid of your fierce form. But what was he afraid of? Trastyosmyahan kripana vatsala dusahogra samsara chakra karanad grasatam pranita. He said, I'm afraid of the samsara chakra. It's heavy. You may think it looks okay, the material world. This is an illusion. This is, we're lulled to sleep thinking I'm okay. But actually, Bhagavatam's reminding us, padam padam yad vipadam natesham. At every second, it's danger. Danger, danger. And the laws of nature are inexorable. They're unstoppable. They're uncheckable. And it's like a huge machine. Prahlad Maharaj mentions, nishpidyamanam upakarsha vibho prapanam. He said it's like a huge grinding wheel. I'm being crushed by the wheel of time. And so just think how inexorable are just the common laws that you have to deal with walking around town. Like, what are some of them? You have to put money in the meter. I had something, business to conduct in Burlingame today. Bhakti George was with me, and I had to park the car outside the place where I was mailing a package to, and he said, oh, better put quarters in the meter, because he said the parking Nazis will come. He said they're very heavy. And that's true. They're going around all the time, and it's not such an easy thing to get out of. I saw one lady, her car was getting ticketed. She ran out. Oh, wait. Even that little thing, it's waiting right there. The law is waiting to act. Just the parking meter, the parking ticket. And it takes a bite, a little bite. Maybe it's only a $35 ticket. But for some people, that's, you know, that's a half day's work or something. This is the material nature. Adiatmat, adibhotik, adidaivik miseries are there at every second, built into the laws of nature, inexorable. Trastyos mahan kripanavatsala dusahugra samsara chakra. This huge wheel of samsara, it's rolling. And those who don't take shelter of the Lord, they get crushed by it. They get crushed by that inexorable wheel. You hesitate, you become complacent, don't take shelter of the Lord. At any second, arm gets chopped off by the wheel. I'm crushed by the wheel. It's shocking. It's scary. This is what Prahlad is saying. The material world is a very dangerous, scary place. These laws of nature, they're huge. They're huge, and they're rolling. And in ignorance, Prabhupada used to note this, sometimes even college students, they would say, what's the difference if I become a dog in my next life? I won't know the difference. I'm a man now, but if I become a dog in my next life, if I don't know the difference, who cares? This is the darkest ignorance to think like this. The opposite is what Prahlad Maharaj is promoting, that I'm afraid of material nature. I'm fearful, actually, that it's so inexorable, so powerful. I need to take shelter at the lotus feet of the Lord at every second. So this mood, Prahlad Maharaj has exhibited, and this is the mood of a pure devotee, not to let up and become lulled by the external glare of the material nature. Case in point. At any second, just like a cell phone going off, mosquitoes come without warning. Monkeys, the monkeys in Vrindavan, they'll jump down, and death comes like that too. And now cell phones. Just when you're least expecting it, you thought you left it in the car, you thought you turned it off, it's in the middle of an assembly, and all of a sudden, the phone goes off. So, death, monkeys, mosquitoes, and cell phones. These things are unexpected. So, the life of the devotee means to fortify ourselves always by the mercy of the Lord and be always situated at his lotus feet, never deviating from that for even a moment. This is the life of pure devotional service shown by Prahlad Maharaj. Prahlad Maharaj ki jai. Lord Nrisingadev ki jai. Gopremanande Hari Hari Bol.